This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, we're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf, your host. And it has been a beautiful summer in British Columbia, where I live, on the west coast of Canada, just above Washington State, above Seattle, near Vancouver. And it has been phenomenal. Phenomenal. We had one day of rain in the last month, and I know some people listening in places like Arizona are thinking, well, what's the big deal? Here, it rains all the time. We can go a month without a break in the rain. So to have a month with almost no rain, it's like heaven sent. But of course, it means there's forest fires. And you've probably noticed there's some really bad ones this year. And in particular, in Washington State right now, there's one that's raging. So people, if you're camping, be really careful. You're not allowed to have campfires, and there's a good reason for that. So don't break the rules. Your cigarette butts, got to put them out in the right places, keep them with you. Just don't take any chances. Everything is just tinder dry. And once a forest fire starts, it gets so out of control. It displaces so many people. And that's what we always hear about. But think of all the animals it displaces when there's a fire. They have nowhere to go, no rescue centers, no shelters set up, no evacuation routes. I mean, they just run or burn. It's a terrible, terrible disaster for the animals of the area. So do what you can to brush control and all the things that, you know, your local people tell you to do to keep fire safe. Do it, because you don't want a fire in your neighborhood. You definitely don't. And of course, because it's so hot, don't take your dogs with you in the car. If you think you're just going to be a minute, you're going to run into the store and run out again. Sometimes the person in front of you is really slow. Sometimes the cash just doesn't flow, or the lineup's bigger than you think. And by the time you get out to your car, you may not think your dog's in distress, but he is. And why are you doing that to him? He'd be so much more comfortable at home in your air-conditioned house or the shade of your backyard with some water that he can't spill. Very, very important to keep your dogs cool in the summer. So I was looking through the news and seeing the delightful animal news, but I couldn't help but notice something terrible over in Ohio near Cincinnati. Unfortunately, they rescued many, many dogs. Many dogs. 100 almost were rescued from this Helping Hands for Furry Paws rescue facility. But 30 were found dead. And many, all were suffering. There's not one healthy dog in the mix. Urine, feces, stench was overwhelming to the humans trying to help. They already had 110 dogs at the shelter. So now they've gone and rescued all these other dogs from a different shelter, and they are completely overwhelmed. So if you're in the Ohio area, if there's anything you can do, if you've got stuff you could donate, whether it be pet supplies or maybe just volunteering your time or donating some money, they really, really need your help over there. So just Google it. You'll see all about it. There's an awful lot of dogs. Just Google Helping Hands for Furry Paws. That's the condemned, neglectful place that the animals were rescued from. And guessing from the numbers, they're going to be farmed out to foster homes, and probably many of them have to go to the vet. So there's going to be a huge group of people involved in helping. And if you want to join that group and meet some of the nicest people you'll ever meet, get a really good connection to your community, check that out, because they could use your help right now. Okay, so there was also a case in England, a big case that I noticed, because it was a breeding case. And in 2 years, between 2020 and 2022, this mom and daughter, bred 27 litters. I can't even imagine that. Now, I'm a breeder, and I work and I do rescue as well, and I have this 5-acre facility, and it's licensed and tickety-boo, everything's designed for care of dogs, up to the bylaws and SPCA inspections and all that. And I have staff who work here, not just two people. And there's no way we could do 27 litters in 2 years in a healthy way. No way. No way at all. And I can't imagine what kind of facility they have for that. So, yes, when the authorities came, the dogs were in a terrible state. Terrible. And there were 54 dogs, and they were all taken. But the interesting thing about this case, the dogs are all going to be okay. And in fact, they've all been rehomed. So it's a happy story. All the dogs have been spayed and neutered and health checked and vet checked and brought back to good health, good coat, good skin, good nutrition, everything like that, and given great homes. So that's fantastic. But the interesting thing I found about this case is that the mother and daughter are now banned from owning animals for 10 years. And I think that is fantastic. I wish it was longer. I really do. There was something like that maybe 30 years ago in my area. And the person was running a doggy daycare. And he was found guilty in a court of law of stealing a dog from another doggy daycare to make the other doggy daycare look bad. So the investigation led to a big court case, and there were some other infractions. And that business owner was told he could no longer operate an animal care business in the province of British Columbia. Great. That was great, great regulation. Unfortunately, the guy just moved to the next province over and opened up a doggy daycare in Alberta. So I am hopeful that these kinds of bans will take hold and that they'll get some teeth in them, you know? Not just one little area. You're not just banned from owning animals in this city, but actually the whole country, right? Not just banned from running a pet business in this particular location, but actually you can't do it at all. If there was a way to make that happen, it would be fantastic because a lot of times these characters move around and they may even have facilities in several locations. And that way, if they get shut down in one location, they just move to another state or another town. So I really want to applaud the fact that there is a way to do this, a 10-year ban on animal owning. I wish it was longer and I wish it was more comprehensive, but it's definitely the way to go because that's the kind of thing we need. Around here, we've had this one breeder and the person who's been charged with cruelty and convicted several times, and she just keeps doing it. They tell her she can't continue, and the ban on her doing it expires and she starts again. So it's very, very important. Just like when you have someone who's committing crimes over and over and over and over again, they kind of pop out of the regular system and they start to be treated as a repeat offender. And then when the court sees them, they don't treat them as a new face that's never been tried before. They look at them with their whole record. And there should be a way to do that, a repeat offender for animal cruelty, so that this just doesn't happen. All right, everybody, we're going to go to some happier news coming up and some facts about dogs and cats. And I'll even respond to an email I got. So stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms, and our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit petliferadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on petliferadio.com.
Back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio, and you may hear dogs barking in the background. That is because I am broadcasting live from Camp Good Dog, where all the dogs are happy and running around and playing. There's a pond and 5 acres meadow forest. They come here when their owners go on holiday, and I also breed dogs, and we have one litter of golden doodle puppies. They're a couple weeks old, just started to be able to sit and scamper. Just open their eyes. If you want to see those golden doodle puppies, please go to Camp Good Dog on Facebook. They're there. And the videos of them first opening their eyes and first starting to talk and squirm and all that is on Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. And that's also where I post some of these shows. So I'm hoping you'll go to Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube and subscribe, and you will see all kinds of things. You'll see puppies. You'll see cats. You'll see me training a cat to come when called and sit and shake paw. You'll see, well, you see so many dogs and puppies, you really will. But you'll see Buster learning not to jump up. I mean, you'll see all kinds of behavior training and also some really interesting things. Like I showed tail body language the other day. I had two dogs come to camp, two guests who just had this beautiful demo of tail body language. Both of them were doing the wagon tail with such intense intensity when they greeted that I just had to film it. So check out Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. And you'll be entertained with adorable animals, but you'll also learn something about them. Okay, so one more thing, one more rescue thing. 26 cats were brought in boxes to a vet clinic in Barrie. There's two things I want to say about this. It's good and it's bad. It's bad that somebody let their situation get so out of hand that they had 26 cats. Of the 26 cats, only a couple were healthy. Almost all of them needed vet care or shaving or grooming or terrible mats or some kind of parasite, you know, real bad shape. 26 cats dropped off at 4 a.m. in boxes. If you're going to drop off a cat at a rescue facility, make sure you're dropping it off in a sensible way, right? Do it right before they open. Do it in shade, with water, with food. Do it so they can't just jump out of the box and maybe get hit by a car. Do it sensibly. And the best way is to call ahead and tell them you're going to do it, because they're not going to charge you if you're desperate. If you really, really need to get rid of these animals, do it the most humane way. Call ahead. Explain your situation and call ahead. There are shelters and rescue places in every town and city around the world ready to receive, but it helps them so much more if you call ahead. There's been some really bad situations where people do this kind of drop-off and they don't do it humanely. And the people who come in to work the facility find the animals in really rough shape because they've been overexposed to the elements or some other danger. So be smart about it. If you have to abandon an animal, call ahead. Okay, so now on to some interesting news. Let's see. Well, I was watching TV and I noticed there's a show about these guys who go out fishing. And they go out fishing in these super rough seas, you know, where the boat goes up and down and up and down. And one of the guys can't go without his dog. He just won't go. He won't go on the water without his dog. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, I like to have my dog with me all the time. I don't ever like going to a park and going for a walk without a dog. That just feels wrong to me. I mean, anything could happen, right? I like to live my life so carefree. I can wear anything I want and go through a park and no one will harass me because I'm with dogs, right? Nobody's going to come up and pick on me. Nobody's going to try something funny. No funny business with me. I've got dogs with me. I get where he's coming from. The unfortunate thing, though, is his dog is seasick, terribly, terribly seasick. But the two are so bonded that the dog wouldn't want to be left behind either. So it's a pretty interesting little conundrum they've got going. And I would suggest he talk to a vet about it, though, because in the show, he was talking to one of the other characters and saying he's never tried anything for the dog. Well, it's quite possible that the dog just has a basic motion sickness and a bit of gravel would do. It's quite possible. So maybe check that out. You could be a lot happier and both of you could be a lot more comfortable in the future. Okay, so we're talking about weight a little bit and I thought it was kind of interesting, weight and numbers. So an 18-year-old potbelly pig is usually about 200 pounds. That just seems like a lot to me, doesn't it? Doesn't that seem like a lot? It does to me. And then thinking about numbers, the biggest cat litter ever. Oh, I can't find the number. I think it was 19. 19 kittens she had to take care of. Can you imagine that? My God. I mean, most humans have one baby or two babies. And then there's these shows, TV shows about the people who have quintuplets. But 19? I mean, most cats and dogs have 8 to 10 nipples. So 19, you'd have to help feed those. That's for sure. The fattest dog recorded ever, biggest, heaviest, was an English Mastiff. And he puts that potbelly pig to shame. That 200-pound potbelly pig's looking kind of slim next to the largest English Mastiff. His name was Zorba, and he weighed 343 pounds. That is a massive dog. That's like a piece of furniture or a small car. So we were talking about Ohio earlier and the big rescue going on there. And I kind of find it interesting that the University of Cincinnati, which is in Ohio, is the first institution in the U.S. to teach animal audiology. Now, what is animal audiology? I will be looking into that and finding out for a future show because I have to know, what is animal audiology? All right, everybody, stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to a break, and we'll be back in just a minute on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. I know I've given you a few numbers. So we talked about the big litter. We talked about the heavy dogs. Well, what happens when you get one boy cat and one girl cat? And don't fool yourself. It doesn't even matter if they're siblings. One boy cat and one girl cat. In 5 years, how many cats do you think we have? It's an incredible answer. It's around 11,000. And that's based on each litter being an average size, not the 19, just an average size. So what we take away from that is please, please spay and neuter your cats. Very, very young. Right when you get them, as soon as the vet will agree to do it, get them spayed or neutered. Sometimes people think, oh, he's so little, he's a kitten, he's so sweet, I don't want to do it yet. Yeah. Okay, well, he's already a Romeo, and she's already a wanton little hussy when it comes to the heat time. As soon as she has her first heat, which can be as early as 4 months, 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, 12 months, all those months are times where she can get pregnant and have kittens consecutively. Your cat could have a litter and then as she's just getting over nursing cats, get pregnant again and again and again and again. And that's why you got to spay her. You got to neuter him right away. I've noticed a trend lately with dogs where people are neutering dogs very, very late. And they're doing so mostly because they want big heads. They want the dog to have a big, giant head, big, tough looking dog, macho head, big neck, big head, like a bodybuilder, basically like a fighter. But the thing is, those hormones change behavior. And even though once you neuter a dog, things change back a little bit, you can get to the point of no return. So if you neuter a dog when he's quite young, 6 months, 8 months, something like that, before he's ever started to fight, before he's ever been in a fight, before he's ever peed on something to claim it as his own, like a person, like grandma, which actually happened to me. One of my Rottweilers actually lifted his leg and urinated on my mother-in-law's foot one time. So before that happens, before the dog is marking and bullying and maybe taking over furniture and growling, perhaps at people, perhaps at other animals, starting to show signs of ownership. I own things. I own my world. I own my space. I own my stuff. I own my people. I am the man. When he starts to do that, it can be sometimes very difficult to change that back again. So you want to neuter him first, especially if he's one of these macho fighting breeds. Because the thing is, once he discovers that he's a very good fighter, Just like anybody, right? If you discover you're good at piano, you want to play piano. If you discover you are really talented at singing or dancing or painting or you're the guy who can fix stuff, well, then you want to do that, right? Your dog's the same way. If your golden retriever discovers, whoa, I'm a great swimmer. Look at this. I can float. Now your golden retriever is going to want to swim every chance he gets. And it's the same with fighting dogs. When they figure out that this is actually, they got the muscle, they got the reaction time, they got the reflexes, they're bigger, stronger, better than everyone else at this one thing. Well, they want to do it again. So you want your fighting dog to like kind of not even think about it. Never even have the desire. Never want to own anything. Just be a go with the flow kind of guy. Maybe a policeman at the park who breaks up trouble. And in order to get that happening, you got to neuter him young. So I really, really strongly suggest that to you. Sometimes I get people calling me and they have an intact male and they're starting to see all these problems. And they say things like, well, he never did this before, but now he's growling at dogs at the dog park. And I have to tell them, well, he never did it before because it was a baby and babies don't pick fights. Have you ever seen an infant pick a fight with a grown man? No, it doesn't happen because they have to get to where they think they can win, to where they think they're strong enough to take on the contender. So you definitely don't want that to happen with your pit bull, your mastiff, your Dogo Argentino, your, let's see, who else should I name? Cane Corso, anything you could describe as a gladiator dog. If you're not really, really skilled at training and a professional and you understand this dog breed very well and you are okay with avoiding dog parks and you're okay with avoiding situations where you might meet other intact males, if that's not you, if you want to be able to go camping with your dog, if you want to be able to walk him in a dog-a-thon or go to a party or a picnic or hang out with other people and not worry that another intact male might come along, then neuter your dog. You will have a much easier to handle dog. So sometimes I get these people who call with these problems and they want to spend a whole whack of money on training. And yes, an intact dog can be trained to a point. You can train him to come sit, stay, heel, and you can train him to ignore other dogs when you tell him to. And you can train him to back off when another dog tries to intimidate him or cause some friction, you know, because that's what happens when you have an intact male. Other males find him and they're like, hey, let's rumble. I want to fight with you. I want to prove myself against you. So if you don't want to be in all that, you don't want to be the target of all that, just neuter the dog. A dog who's intact and never gets to reproduce is a pretty frustrated animal. And he's always looking for it. He's always looking for a female. He's also always looking for a fight. And that's because when they mate, the female will pick the strongest. So there may be two or three males around, and she'll kind of instigate a little bit of play fighting with each of them, try and get them going, try and get them to fight over her so she can see which of these suitors is the best one, the strongest, fittest, fastest, toughest. That way her puppies will be strong and fit and fast and tough. But that means that the males are geared up to fight for her. And that's what you want to avoid in your lovely pet dog. You certainly don't want it this going on if you've got little kids. Little kid could get in the middle of that so easily, be in the wrong place at the wrong time and just get knocked over or worse. So please, please neuter your dogs early. All right, everybody. I think that's it for today. I believe I've run out of time. I am going to be posting so much about these puppies. We take pictures and videos every day of these little golden doodle puppies so you can see how they open their eyes and their ears and they start to walk. And it's absolutely adorable. So please go to Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube and check it out. All right, everyone. From me, Deb Wolf, an Animal Party and Pet Life Radio. Be good to us.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.